Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. Plus a shout out to the hundreds, if not thousands, of new listeners we have out there right now, all hungry for the truth about what's really going on. This is the 446th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria, and this, folks, is a very special edition. I've titled it Coronavirus Update and Sozos. And today, folks, I'll stand on a question asked by Jesus, and that's essentially directed to all of us, and it's found in John chapter 5, verse 6. Where Jesus asks, wilt thou be made whole? Now, more on that later in this message. But for right now, let's lay aside all of our emotions and look at what I've labeled the coronavirus heist. And thank you again, Ethan, for that. And folks, if you look up in the banner on the website, got a couple graphics on the coronavirus heist, and that's exactly what it is. So let's dive in and look at this global heist in the light of truth, because it has to be outed, folks, I'm telling you. So with no more introductions, let's dive right into some of the latest breaking and I'm going to call it rather shocking and contradictory news in this incredible coronavirus heist. Now, number one, before I get started, I do want to say that I'm not belittling this. It is a virus or whatever they call it. You know, virology is a very strange practice. It's founded in microbiology, and it was based on many of the practices adopted by bacteriology, Dr. Lister, and all the great things that happened with antibiotics. And there was a lot of good things, folks. And they tried to relate this to a mystery particle that's 100 times smaller than a bacteria. That's a story for another day, perhaps. So there are people getting sick. Yes, there are people getting sick. And there are people dying. So I'm not belittling this. But I want to look at it in magnitudes. I want to look at it in terms of what happens every day. You know, there are 1,500 people a day around the world dying from diarrhea. So let's keep all of this in perspective, okay? So let's just dive into some of the headlines. And like I said, they're rather shocking and sometimes contradictory. First, the former prime minister to the UK calls for global government to fight the COVID-19. You can find this on Zero Hedge that has been deplatformed from just about everywhere. Their Twitter account shut down. If you want that link, if you can't find it, just email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com and I'll get it for you. And then there's another article out by John Rappaport, okay, March 25th, UK downgrades COVID-19. And in this article, it talks about the fact that the UK government no longer sees a high consequence issue concerning this quote-unquote novel virus. And that's how they have to word it, novel virus. Because if they don't, it doesn't even rise to the pandemic level of a common cold or a flu. So they have to use the word novel in front of it, and then all of their all their virology data can be thrown aside for how you classify a pandemic. That's true. So then I ask a question, why would the former Prime Minister Gordon Brown say that? Why would he call for global government? Maybe the same right reason there's a virus king himself, Bill Gates, is out there calling for implantable RFID trackers in everyone so that we can track this disease. Our invisible enemy, the coronavirus, has now become the silent weapon for quiet war in that document that I discussed last week. And if you haven't heard that, go back to that show. Then number two, listen to this news headline. This is out of CNBC Health and Science, and it was on March 23rd, 2020. CDC says that the coronavirus survived in the Princess cruise ship. You know, that's the one that had that huge outbreak, for up to 17 days after the passengers left. So the director of the CDC, this guy named Robert Redfield, he was reporting to Congress, and he said that they're evaluating how long this virus can survive on different surfaces. You know, he said on certain surfaces like copper and steel, it's a typical couple hours, but on softer surfaces, it can last longer. Okay? Now, he said that this survival rate on these other surfaces, rather than being airborne, contributing to the outbreak that spread around the cruise ship, okay? Because people were starting to question that. These people were sequestered to their rooms, yet they were getting the disease. But then there's another report out by the World Health Organization this week that airborne precautions for medical staff are necessary because it survives in the air. So which is it, folks? Does it or doesn't it? CDC, World Health Organization, why don't you two have a conference call and talk about this before you release this stuff? Or maybe it's all about fear porn. You know, fear has a beautiful acronym. You know, I say faith is forsaking all, I trust him. Well, here's one for fear: false evidence about reality. And then number three, listen to this report from The Guardian. Okay, we got these incredibly high numbers in Italy. They're not tracking with any other one of the statistics being reported out there. And this article out of The Guardian, and I can send you these links if you can't find them, but here, just put this in your search engine. Only 12% of COVID-19 deaths list COVID-19 as cause. Okay? So this report says that up to 88% Italy's alleged COVID-19 deaths could have been misattributed. See, this article goes on to explain that the way Italy registers their death results, it inflates the coronavirus cases in terms of the fatality ratio. And that's really important when you're making public policy decisions about shutting down economies, folks. And this is a quote right from an expert in the Italian National Institute of Health. It's known as ISS. And listen to this. This is a direct quote, folks, from this expert. I want you to remember these people died with the coronavirus and not from the coronavirus. And that's really important to understand here. There are all sorts of morbidities out there in the general population. There are a lot of people dying every single day, folks. This is something that we need to understand. There's 8,000 people dying every single day in the United States alone. And you have to understand, when you're doing statistical analysis, you have to make certain that your population is appropriately identified. And, you know, this is all playing into what I'm referring to as the coronavirus heist, because it's just not working out in terms of numbers. Yeah, they've got the emotion up where they need to have it. They've got everything in line with regard to compliance. And I'll tell you what, this looks so amazing with regard to how it's all being pulled off. I just can't believe it. But when you get down into it, when you dive into the numbers, I just don't see them, folks. I truly don't see them. And I see all sorts of emotional appeals to pity. I see they're talking about the 35-year-old man who died. They don't tell you he's on chemotherapy. He has a compromised immune system. They don't tell you these things because they're appealing to pity. False evidence about reality. Remember last week I played the clip from the town hall, the CNN town hall, where Dr. Anthony Fauci, who's no longer in the press conferences, I wonder why, had this incredibly sappy appeal to emotion after Anderson Cooper set us up. People like me who are questioning this, technical people who are questioning this, set me up and saying, I'm not sure you can rationalize with these sorts of folks. Folks, that's what I want. I want rationality right now. I want to talk numbers. Listen to that quote, this little clip from the town hall again.
I've had so many people the last couple of days come up to me and say that they don't believe, that they think this is a media exaggeration. They think there's some, you know, political reason why people are, or the government is doing this or talking about this. They say the death toll, that it doesn't look anything worse than a flu. What do you say to those people? I mean, I'm not sure you can rationalize with them, but what do you say?
Well, all they need to do is look at what happened in China and take a look at what's going on in Italy. I had the opportunity multiple times to call my friends and colleagues who, as I mentioned, many of them trained here in the United States, some in my own laboratory over the years. And if you hear the pain in their voice about what's going on there, you take it really seriously.
Did you hear that, folks? If you hear the pain in their voice, you'd take it really seriously. I am taking it really seriously, folks. How about the pain in the millions of voices of people who won't have money to pay their rent next month? How about that pain? I'm appalled by this, folks. And some of the stuff I'm seeing out there by the alt media is really driving me crazy. Where's the rationality? I've grown to respect some of these people over the years, and now I'm really questioning it. It's called what it is, folks. Did you hear that appeal to pity? I want to talk about facts. I don't want to have this false evidence about reality in my face every day. And remember, this is from the good doctor who said we've got to wait for good science, not anecdotal evidence, before we start using the anti-malarial drug, hydroquinone and its derivatives against COVID-19. The guy who appealed to pity? And we're seeing all kinds of quote-unquote anecdotal good results with this? Come on. And then the governor of Michigan, she threatens to revoke the license of doctors and pharmacists who do prescribe this? What's going on here? Now, what about this one? There's these experts out there that give us some good news, you know? It's an emotional game they're playing, folks. False evidence about reality. Listen to this, okay? They give us this good news. And this just blows me away. Here's a report out of the Washington Post. Let me see if I have the date here. It was from March 24th. Coronavirus mutation rate is good for vaccine development. That's the Washington Post. But then what about this next article here out of the Daily Mail from the United Kingdom? Coronavirus. Icelandic scientists have found 40 mutations. So which is it? Here's a question for the high priests at the altar of scientism. And this is scientism, folks. This is not experimental science. This is theoretical science. Scientism, it's something to manipulate the masses. So which is it? Good doctor, does it mutate or doesn't it? Because if it mutates, your priestly claims to having a vaccine are meaningless. You know, what is it? And then there are these reports out of Europe, I think it was Norway, advocating by the high priests that you force vaccinations on everyone. Folks, would you trust a vaccine from these people? Would you seriously trust a vaccine from these people? You know, I'm an experienced experimental scientist, accomplished, proven, and I'm telling you, this is not how real science is done. And I'm crying out, you know, you technical folks, you intellectuals, you people that think about numbers, wake up from the magic they got you under, folks. And apparently a few have. There's one article out of The Guardian from England, and this article is titled 12 Experts Questioning the Coronavirus Panic. Okay, it's a must read article, I'm telling you. And thank you, Sister Kathy, for sending us that one. Okay, and it addresses exactly what I've been telling you for a week or more now about this COVID-19 fear porn. And then these 12 medical experts, they ponder or they ask, well, what's the reason? Well, I've been saying this all along. I know the reason, folks. COVID-19 is a scapegoat. It's the globalists' excuse for an economic reset. And again, Sister Kathy, thank you so much for all the good information you're sending. And I know this article is so jam-packed, but I haven't seen one mainstream source or even a very few alt media picking this up. And people like Steve Quell and Adams over at Health Ranger and some of you other folks that are stirring up all this fear, even All News Pipeline, come on, folks. Can't you see through this for what it is? Yes, you need to be careful. Yes, you have to practice hygiene. All this stuff is real. But look at the magnitude of the response. That's the danger here. That's what I'm talking about. Okay? about this one? There was a headline yesterday that states the U.S. has more cases than any other country, including China and Italy. So let's take our light of truth. Okay, remember, Jesus promised us that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. Okay, so let's take our spiritual flashlight and let's shine it in this dark little corner over there. Oh, look at the cockroaches scramble. This is a perfect example of what I mean by fear porn. So let's talk about a few facts, okay? Remember, fear is false evidence about reality. Fact, China lies. So if you believe they only had 80-some thousand cases, you're gullible. Fact number two, U.S. is about five times larger population than Italy. So when you're doing statistical analysis, when you're looking at numbers, what I'm saying is you have to have some kind of normalization. Numbers can mean anything you want them to mean. Remember like Humpty Dumpty said in The Wizard of Oz? I mean in the Alice in Wonderland Through the Looking Glass? Words mean whatever I want words to mean. So fact, China lies. Fact, the U.S. has over five times as many people in it as Italy. Fact, here's another fact. There are fewer than 500,000 COVID-19 cases worldwide since this outbreak happened. Remember, last week I tried to talk about small numbers. So that's less than 0.005%. That's such a small number, folks. How do you get your mind around that small number? Well, that's like taking a gallon of water that everybody's scrambling to buy up at the grocery stores now. Take one of those plastic jugs of water, put a baby dropper, an eyedropper in there, and take out two drops of water and drop them on the table. That's the entire infection rate or infection total out of a world with 8 billion people in it. And then out of those two drops, over 95% of the people get better. Two drops of water. And we're shutting down the world economy? The coronavirus heist. Here's another fact. Okay, the CDC reports that in the U.S. alone this year, in the 2019-2020 flu season, between 38 to 54 million people will be affected. I have it up on the screen. You can see the screenshot right off of the CDC website. That's the common flu. Up to 54 million cases in the U.S. alone. And they're playing on that because some of the symptoms are the same. So a lot of these people out there that are just getting the flu think they have COVID-19. And then in another report, the CDC said that as many as 646,000 people worldwide can die. This year alone, we're going to have like probably 50,000 flu-related deaths. And to date, folks, fewer than 20,000 people have died from the COVID-19 virus. 20,000 worldwide. And that includes Italy's inflated numbers that I told you don't attribute correctly in terms of the way they're counting. They don't count like every other country does. So what's up with all this? Well, this week, and this is very alarming, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, and I didn't have time to get this clip up, but I wanted to, I just didn't have time, but it's out there. I hope it's still out there. But Secretary of State Mike Pompeo admitted that the COVID-19 issue here in the United States is, he referred to it, this was in his own words, a live exercise. And when he said that, President Trump was standing over to his right side. He kind of looked a little startled. And then Trump mutters under his breath, and you can hear it clearly, "I wish you would have told us." Did you hear that? Can somebody tell me what's going on here? Why can? It's the coronavirus heist. Hey, folks, snatch a couple of those images I put up there on the site on SDG 446. You can get that right on Blog Talk Radio. Snatch a couple of those images. Let's make them go viral, okay? Let's make them go viral. So go up to Blog Talk Radio. Just put in the search SDG 446. When that comes up, capture a few of those images. Get those coronavirus heist images out there. I'd like to see them everywhere because that's exactly what this is. Or listen to this good news out of the Washington Post, okay? It doesn't mutate quickly, okay? So maybe that vaccine's going to come. But then there was another report, okay, that I talked about, that there's over 40 mutations right now and that you can get reinfected. So I'm bringing this up again because I find it so appalling. Which is it? Is it mutating or isn't it? Well, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to tell you in about 6 months that they fast-tracked the vaccine and they went through all the clinical trials. Well, you physically cannot do that. It typically takes 5 years to do it the way the protocols were originally established, and now they're saying you can cut it down to 2 years, and I'm hearing they're going to do it in 6 months. Not possible, folks. The shortcuts that have been taken are unreal. And then don't even get me started on this stimulus bill. I'm telling you, the Democrats, they sold out to their Green New Deal left-wing socialists. And the Republicans are no better. They sold out to their Wall Street friends. You know what's going on in this? They talk about $2 trillion stimulus package, but this isn't really a stimulus because the economy's good. Well, if you believe the economy was good before this, go back and listen to last week's message. I outlined everything that was going on last fall with the Fed repo market and the amount of money they've been infusing into the economy. It's not good, folks. It wasn't good. This is a scapegoat. So the Dems sold out to the Green New Deal. The Republicans sold out to all their Wall Street friends and all the CEOs that were using their bond market to do stock buybacks. And they're going to throw some crumbs, a couple of $1,000 per family out there, after they've forced them to stand down and sit in their homes. And the president, I'm appalled by this. He's there. I believe the deep state finally got to hijack him. And I'm not saying he's squeaky clean, folks, because he's not. You know, perhaps an article or a message for another day would be the two different lines of the establishment. One's called English Freemasonry. One's called French Freemasonry. They have completely different visions with the way to establish this new order. And it's very contradictory. One has a quote-unquote moral high ground. That's the English Freemasons. And I think that's where President Trump falls. And then the French Freemasons are all godless, atheistic, humanistic. And I think these two are at odds right now. And then don't even get me started on the CDC's EpiCurve. Isn't that a cute name for it? Every day at 4 p.m., they update it from the data they received the day before. Okay, and the daily onset of the illness has been dropping. Let me say that again, dropping. Yep, dropping, just like the stock market has been. So then why are they doing all this? Why do they ignore our Fifth Amendment? And no one in the media is talking about this. No one. Well, I'll tell you the reason, folks. This is the rape of America. Look at that EpiCurve. Go to cdc.gov, coronavirus updates, and just listen, look at it. And then this next article I'm going to talk about, I encourage you to go out there and read it, okay? Just read it. It's from the Russian Times. Yeah, believe it or not, the Russian Times. Coronavirus constitutional rights and government. If you put those keywords in, you'll find it. And if not, send me an email at kdbeard1961@gmail.com, and I'll get the link out to you. So I call it the rape of America, okay? Months and months of quarantine and shutdown. And there's a part in this article that's been nagging me since this statewide shutdown here in Pennsylvania, okay? Now, thank the Lord, praise the Lord, we're considered a life-sustaining business because we supply material to keep the high voltage power generation systems running in all the power plants around the world. And we also supply the defense industry. So praise the Lord, we can stay open. But this one sentence out of this article just nags me. Labor lost can never be recovered. And I'm going to add something to that. Neither can manufacturing. You have these overhead costs and you have a cost just to maintain the equipment at idle. And it's expensive. In our case, it's probably maintaining the equipment and the workforce, 80% to run nothing versus we need to break even. 80% of our costs are fixed. So the article out of the Russian Times suggests that our Fifth Amendment has been quarantined. And some people may be saying, well, what's the Fifth Amendment? Well, that's our protection, our right to make a living. It comes from the Fifth Amendment that talks about our right to property without deprivation by due process. So, in other words, the obligation of this government called the federal government, established by we the people, okay, the obligation of the government is to compensate you for any such takings. And if you think these crumbs they're throwing out to the American public is compensation, compensating by printing money, what do you think is going to happen when people wake up to that? It's called hyperinflation, folks. Yeah, that's exactly what this government is doing right now. It's sick, folks. It's absolutely sick. So then you have to start asking yourself, well, what is government? What's government all about? Well, there's this quote here right now, and I'm going to pull it up, and I want to read it to you. It's up on the screen, the scrolling screen, so you can get it out there. It's by H.L. Mencken, and I may do a little bit more on him next week, provided the Lord's willing, and maybe we can get into some details on what's behind all this. But listen to this quote from H.L. Mencken. The whole aim of practical politics is to keep the populace alarmed and hence clamorous to be led to safety. Fear porn, false evidence about reality. And how do they do this? By menacing the population with an endless series of hobgoblins, all of them imaginary. Now, I'm not even saying this is completely imaginary, because there are people with this supposed virus. But honestly, it's a novel cold virus, folks, a respiratory virus. Coronaviruses can go from anything as mild as a common cold to pneumonia and everything in between. And that's what we're seeing here. So why all the hype? Why all the fear? Well, Mencken tells us why. The whole aim of practical politics is to keep the populace alarmed and hence clamorous to be led to safety by menacing it with an endless series of hobgoblins, all of them imaginary. Right there in his own words. So we have shutdown orders, curfews, stay-at-home orders, all stripping the common man and the common woman of their ability to make a living. And people are doing it willingly. Compensation. Oh, come on. You think that stimulus package is truly compensating people? No substitution for their wages. There's no revenues coming out of these businesses. No opportunity for growth. Listen to this. Labor loss that can never be recovered, ever, while it leaves our economy teetering on the edge of a worst ever depression. Folks, the foundation of just government is to protect the pursuit of happiness. Not to provide you happiness, but to protect the pursuit. And now, we the people, all we get to pursue is Netflix and made-to-order takeouts. Boy, all these commercials now on the MTOs. You know, you can get them from anywhere from Golden Corral to Domino's Pizza and everything in between. What a joke. And then the media paints these false hopes. I saw this graphic, and I should have put it up. I'll put it up next week. Of an artist painting a sky, a beautiful sunny sky, and it's on the bottom of this giant sole of a boot, a jackbooted thug coming down to squash him. And that reminded me of a book written by Jack London, The Iron Heel, where he talks about a lot of this, written back in the 20s, I believe it was, or maybe the teens of the 20th century. So this media is painting false hopes after they just inundate you with false evidence about reality. And then they have us pray that the market doesn't crash like it did in 1929. Well, folks, honestly, it is. The decline curve of the market is steeper than it's ever been in the history of the market. I mean, I'm telling you, this is scripted by Tavistock. Okay, this whole pandemic scare, it's scripted exactly as Tavistock would have them do it. Edward Bernays would be proud. And if you don't know what the Tavistock Institute is or Edward Bernays and you're interested, email me. I'll get you more information. If there's a lot of interest, maybe we'll do a message on that. Folks, I'm telling you, the land of opportunity and property is almost gone. Our Constitution right now is quarantined. and it's on life support. So what do we do? Well, just like we learned as children in The Wizard of Oz, you remember that? Follow the yellow brick road. Folks, it's all about money. For the love of money is the root of all evil. This is about their economic reset and the new digital currency. They don't care about you and me and our families. The same people, well, maybe not the exact same people, but the same spirit that were in the actuarials and the experts who counseled Ford Motor Company on not doing a recall of the Ford Pinto and paying out individual claims as people died would be more economically feasible than doing a general recall of all those Pintos with the bad gasoline tanks. Care about you and me. They're the same people that said it's safe for Alcoa to dump all of their sodium fluoride waste from smelting aluminum into our water supplies to help with dental caries or commonly known cavities. They don't tell you that it was calcium fluoride, not sodium fluoride, that the studies indicated were beneficial. And by the way, that counterion to the fluoride anion, okay, the cation, calcium, when coupled with fluoride, is a very safe compound. But the cation sodium, when coupled with the anion fluoride, is a class 4 neurotoxin. And these are the same people that are telling you now they want to keep you safe. I'm telling you, it's all about money. And this new digital dollar that they're talking about, and there's an article out on that. It's going to destroy our savings, folks. If you have $20 in the bank, when they do this, you'll probably have two, because you're going to have to exchange it for the new one. Just study what happened in Russia back in the 90s when the ruble started to collapse. Dmitry Orlov did a collapse blog. He was an engineer that lived through it, and I read it years ago. Dmitry Orlov, The Economic Collapse. And there's another good one out there by a blogger that has Shenandoah in his site somewhere. That's the word, the key word to search on. The Day the Dollar Died. And that's what's going on. So listen to this article out of Forbes magazine. New coronavirus stimulus bill in Congress creates the U.S. digital dollar. I'm telling you, the Fed is out of options, so now they're just going to do cash infusions into a little card we all carry. When they need to stimulate the economy, they're just going to, you're going to wake up one day, you're going to have $1,000 on your card. And I think this is going to be tied to our social credit rating. And when you're bad, like me, they're going to take some of it away. And when you're good, like Mike Adams and Steve Quayle, and you stir up all this fear porn, false evidence about reality, you're going to get your digital infusion. And then people are going to be losing their cards. And then what they're going to say is, oh, we need to put the chip in your hand so you don't lose your card or people don't try to take yours. It's called the mark of the beast, folks. And again, no one in the mainstream media is talking about this. They're going after cryptocurrencies, too. That's what this will essentially be. I'm telling you, folks, it just keeps getting creepier and creepier and creepier. Listen to this one, okay? This is out of a web service called Nuke Pro. The head of the World Health Organization isn't even a doctor, okay? And he participated in terrorist organizations, labeling SARS-2 with a new false name. So this article goes in there and explains how a lot of this is a ploy by this head of the World Health Organization, who was the head of the African, I just forgot the country, Ethiopia, I believe it was, the Ethiopian Health Bureau. Now, the Chinese are heavily invested in Ethiopia and most of Africa, and they wanted this man in place. So you got to say why? Why? Because they needed this global pandemic. And if you think the U.S. is at war with China, okay, it's just like George Orwell's game, just the way George Orwell did it. It's just to move the public one way and the other. Now, you may be saying, well, do you have any proof for this? And next week, provided the Lord is willing, what I'd like to do is get in more details concerning the proof I have for what I've just outrageously claimed here in the eyes of many people. Well, next week, let's get into what's called Event 201, okay? It was held last October 2019. It was sponsored by John Hopkins, and you can read about it. In fact, I have one really good quote here. I'd like to read this one quote. The next severe pandemic will not only cause great illness and loss of life, but could also trigger major cascading economic and societal consequences that could contribute greatly to global impact and suffering. Efforts to prevent such consequences or respond to them as they unfold will require unprecedented levels of collaboration between governments, international organizations, and the private sector, and may I add, the mainstream media. And then how about this paper published by the Rockefeller Foundation back in 2010? And it predicted how a pandemic can be used as an excuse to establish global authoritarian power. It's from the Trenches World Report. So between this document and the event 201, that meeting at John Hopkins last October, it seems to me that the establishment was just waiting for this opportunity. They were locked and loaded, so to speak, ready to make their move. So I believe this is the establishment rearing its ugly head. So there's a report. If you'd like to read the Rockefeller Foundation report, email me at kdbeer1961 and I'll get that out to you. So folks, what I'm trying to tell you is COVID-19 is only part of the problem. In fact, it might be the thing that's everybody, you know, the focus of attention for everybody, but it's not the root cause. The bigger crisis is the economy itself. A collapse has been built into this system from day one, 1913, when the Federal Reserve was established. And the virus has little, if nothing, to do with it. You know, there are some leftist snowflakes out there calling this pandemic the boomer remover. And they're so excited because all these useless eaters are going to come off the Social Security rules. And they're almost like giddy about it. Okay, but you know, they're going to have to wake up, because if it is the boomer remover, it's also, and I like this, I heard this somewhere and I don't know where I got it from, the snowflake bake, because they're about to get roasted. You know, most of these 20-year-olds, and that's where we're having problems at the plant with these young people. They hear all this news about this money they're going to get, so they get sick. They think they're going to get it. It's going to be the snowflake bake, folks. If you don't take labor and apply it to substance and use capital assets to create wealth, you can't keep printing money, folks. The only way this Keynesian economics works is if you have this fiat money growing at a rate that matches the gross domestic product of the country. And right now, we're outstripping it with the number of dollars. So what's going to happen is there's going to be more dollars out there, these fake fiat dollars, than there are goods produced to purchase them. And then don't even get me going on germ theory, the invisible rainbow, and the 5G rollout. There's all kinds of issues there, and perhaps we can talk about that. And then there's a lot of talk about flattening the curve. We hear that all the time. You got to flatten the curve so we don't put too much burden on the hospitals. Well, you know, if you listen to this show, you know we lost our dear friend Becky. She had this sudden onset of some non-tumor-forming brain cancer, and she literally went from our dear beloved Becky to a saint standing before the Lord, gazing into the eyes of glory in a matter of about 6 weeks. And this all happened before this pandemic scare. And, you know, she had trouble finding a bed in a hospital, and they had to take her out of network here in Pittsburgh, UPMC, because she couldn't find a bed. And then when they finally realized how serious this was, she became one of the top priorities in the UPMC healthcare system. And they still couldn't get her a bed. They had to put her in a transplant group ICU at Presbyterian Hospital because they didn't have any beds. So there has been a shortage of hospital beds. It's not related to this. So what is this flattening of the curve all about? Well, I think it's about turning the majority of the world into peasants. Peasants, folks, in a feudal system that'll go back to the Middle Ages. That's where I'm at with this. So this is all about fear, false evidence about reality. And then after last week's show, somebody sent me a video. And around the 5 minute mark of this 7 minute message that I've shortened down to a little over 6 minutes, this incredible woman of God, okay, Emma Stark, explains what this is all about. And I would like to play this clip for all of you as we wrap up this message this week. And just listen to what she prays. And to all of you, as she prays, all I can say to her is amen, sister. And I'm even going to give her a pass on using the term globe, okay? But just listen to this, and then I'll be back right after this.
Get ready for this live TV special program, Coronavirus and the End Times, a stunning prophetic update. What does the future hold for America, Israel, and the world? How does this pandemic fit into God's prophetic timeline? Now, join Sid Roth and prophets Tracy Cook and Emma Stark.
Emma?
Yeah.
And let me introduce you to Emma Stark from Scotland and Ireland. And she tells me God only understands the Irish brogue, but that's another. What is God going to do on this show?
Well, those of you who are with us, you are going to be delivered of fear. And that is a really important thing, because the Word of God says in the end times, when there's wars and rumors of wars, to not be alarmed. So this is the moment where you're not going to be alarmed. We're going to release an impartation of freedom and of courage and of hope and strength to you. But you're also going to get a better understanding of why coronavirus and what God is doing behind the scenes.
You know, since this woman was 6 years of age, she has been seeing as a seer and hearing God. And her prophecies are so precise about what is going on right now. But Emma, the spirit of fear, What can we do about it? It's in Christians, it's in non-Christians.
Yes.
It is pervasive.
Yes. Let me answer that question. Can I just say, I think a new breed of church is going to emerge, and it's going to be a post-Pentecostal and a post-charismatic church. It's not going to look like any version of church that we would say should be our go-to aim. In actual fact, we're going to enter the days of the church of holy power. And that is
power.
That's what's going to be established at the end of the shaking. And so last year, I was on my face, actually in Africa, in prayer, and I heard a bomb go off in the spirit realm. Now, you know, I grew up in Northern Ireland, so I'm used to hearing bombs in the natural. But this was a bomb in the spirit realm. And I said to God, what have you done? And God said, watch. And the spray, it was a heavenly sent bomb. The spray from the bomb covered the entire globe. And the spray started to land on the flesh of men, and it started to have an effect on their skin, and their skin started to melt. And I said, God, what are you doing? And God said, I am making sure that it is not about one man. It's not about one ministry. I'm making sure that it's not about ego. I'm making sure that I'm going to shake the people so that all that is fleshly in them disintegrates. And on the back of that, I will refire my church with holy power. And so actually, when we come back to regather, we're going to find that churches move in a greater demonstration of the power of God than they ever have before. But we have to deal, as you say, with this fear situation right now. This is live. And so I feel like when the Word of God says, you know, there's going to be these shakings in Matthew's gospel, do not be alarmed, we have forgotten that command of God, do not be alarmed. And that we have got to learn the art of self-deliverance. So let me unpack what I mean by self-deliverance, because that fear is an evil assignment. It's from the enemy. It's demonic in orientation. So this needs a spiritual warfare hat on. When we talk in Scripture about being saved, the word is sozo. And that word means saved, healed, and delivered. And that is a word that is in a tense that we keep doing it. We keep on walking out our salvation. We keep on being healed. We keep on being set free. So I'm giving you a biblical anchor to it. And so that means that not only do I want to be healed day by day, I want to be delivered day by day. And so this is what you would need to do. And I'm going to talk directly to you, my family, okay? In the body of Christ, you will need to say, sorry, God, that I have partnered with fear. I don't want that in my life. I don't want to be owned by it. I don't want that scaffolding of terror to be established around me. I don't want the enemy to have any foothold. And so we start with repentance. Then we break agreement. We say, that fear is not allowed in me anymore. And we give it its marching orders because you have all power and you have all authority. And then you take a big, deep breath and you just say, fear, you come out on my breath right now.
Lead us in that prayer
yes,
right now.
Yes, okay. So, Father God, we love you and we thank you that you are in love with us. But, Father, we are sorry as the nations of the world, as the saints of God, as the remnant in the nations, where we were no better than those to our left and our right. Father, have mercy in our partnership with terror and panic and intimidation. Father, where we didn't behave as courageous warriors, but we behaved as frightened, intimidated sheep. Father, we cry collectively for mercy. But right now, in the name of Jesus, and I'm praying this for you. You just need to agree with me. We break agreement with fear as the church. We break agreement with the spirit of intimidation. We break agreement with shock and with trauma landing on us that so rattles us that we're impotent in the nations. We say, you spirit of fear, you get off the saints of the Most High in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you your marching orders. We dethrone you from the seat that you have over the saints who are blood bought. And in the name of Jesus, I am looking those demons in the eye, and I am speaking over the territorial strong men by the authority given to me by the blood of the Lamb, and I say, spirit of fear, you are now removed from the church. You are removed from the saints of the Most High. And I want you to breathe with me out on the breath in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. That's the entirety of our 7-year ministry in export, folks. A new breed of church, post-Pentecostal, post-charismatic. Not saying that isn't true, because God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But we're standing on his promise of a church with holy power. You know, folks, last year, about this time, we heard God telling us, about May, April, May, that it's probably time to close up Sozo's. So we did. And there were a lot of reasons, but we did. And then in January, God calls our founder, Becky, Sister Becky, home. Look up on the banner. I've got a picture of Becky standing. It's a doorway to our ministry, holding the Sozo sign, and it says Coffee House and Gathering Place. And we were there Friday and Saturday, and we had worship on Sunday. It was free to all, everyone welcome, for fellowship, fun, music, games, snacks, and more. We broke bread together. We read the scriptures. It was a church of holy power. And folks, none of this is about me or my ego. It's all about Jesus and his church of what she referred to as the church of holy power. I'm telling you, folks, none of this is by coincidence. Up in the show banner, just look at those pictures. So we have one where we were setting up Sozo's. It's black and white. And across it says, Sozo's, to save, heal, and deliver. Jesus asked everyone he ministered to, wilt thou be made whole? And right now we all need to be delivered from false evidence about reality. That's fear. Then look at the next show banner when we're alive. We've got people in there. That night we had the Glory Hounds in. They happen to be the worship team at my local church now, praise the Lord. And then look at the final banner, Sozo's, to be made whole, to save, heal, and deliver. Now, I have a drive up on the cloud. If you would like to see some of our videos about what we did at Sozo's, and they're all put to worship music. So it's a slideshow with worship music and the words so you can worship along. You'll see what we were doing at Sozo's. We were trying to help people be made whole by the power of Jesus to save, to be saved, to be healed, and to be delivered, present tense, from darkness to light, to life, to love in the Spirit. We miss you, Becky. Folks, I'm telling you, turn to Jesus. And he said that the Holy Spirit will lead you unto all truth, even truth about this coronavirus heist. And remember, do not be alarmed. Do not be alarmed. Fear is to Satan what faith is to God. Remember, fear is false evidence about reality, and we're seeing that all over now. And as children of the Most High God, if you've called Jesus your Lord and Savior, if you've confessed with your mouth that he is Lord, and you believe in your heart that he rose from the dead on the third day and conquered sin and death, then you're one of his children, and you have all power and authority. I love you all, folks, and provided the Lord's will, and I'll be back next week with another message in the coronavirus heist series. And I'd like to get into more details on what this is all about. But just remember, no longer slaves to fear.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemy, till all my fear have come. I'm no I am.
folks. Jesus loves you, and fear has no power over you. You are a child of God.
I am a child of God. I'm no longer
all power,
a slave,
all authority.
I am a child of God.
Perfect love casts out all fear, and Jesus loves you, folks, and so do I. I'll be back next week. I love y'all.